Amen. We're very intentional about giving honor where honor is due. Amen. It's a principle of the Word of God. And so we celebrate our apostle, the father, founder, and president of Sword and Spirit. And we honor all the people who God has drawn and who have chosen to find their place in the house, who are not just here warming up the pews, but rather who are functioning in the grace that the Father has bestowed upon them. Amen. Are we ready for the word? Are we ready for the word? Were we blessed by Samson last week? Amen. It was exciting to get so much feedback from God's people this past week about what the message did for them, what the Father was saying. And by God's grace, I'm going to dovetail that this morning and go into something else that the Holy Spirit has impressed in my heart. But I will start by recapping on last week's message. Amen. Is that okay? Is that okay? We better be excited. We better be expectant. Amen. Because it says it's your expectation that will not be cut off. So it's important to make a demand, place a demand on the anointing. Amen. And so last week we learned about Samson, that in order for God to birth a prophet who served and led the Israelites for about 20 years, God chose a barren woman to do that. And he spoke to her being fully aware that she was barren. And the father was saying that barrenness has already been judged. If you are barren, then you are the right person for the message that the father is releasing to the body of Christ in this season. Amen. And barrenness manifests itself in you failing to be productive, in you failing to match your peers. You know, when you feel like your people seem to be moving forward, but for some reason there's so much frustration and stagnation in my life, God says then you are the ideal candidate for what I am doing. He's choosing those who have looked at their lives and have not seen any fruit. He says the word is for you. Amen. And God birthed something incredible and amazing through a woman who was barren. We know the exploits of Samson. Samson was a menace to the Philistines. As long as he existed, the Philistines were frustrated because he was always able to rise to his assignment and to the calling upon his life. And with ease, he was judging things that had been difficult or that had molested the Israelites for the longest time. We know all the stories of how he took a jawbone and was able to just use the jawbone of a donkey and killed like 1,000 people. Just a jawbone of a donkey. And the father began to speak to us to say that as we align with assignment, awaken to assignment and say yes to his call, just by embracing what he has said concerning us, we are going to do exploits. We're going to be able to destroy the things that seemed to be menacing, things that seemed formidable, things that seemed like they were not, they were unshakable in our lives. Hallelujah. There are so many of those exploits. I'm not going to recap on them. I just want us to understand that the spirit that was released over Samson is the same spirit that the Father is releasing over us. Amen. And the Bible records that at some point Samson goes back to his wife's place, and he, on his way there, he sees the carcass, the remains, the bone that remained, you know, after he had torn the lion into pieces. He was able to scoop out honey and enjoy it, and he was able to feed his parents from that. And we understood from that the very attacks that we have been through, our place of harvest, our place of refreshing. So there's no battle that you and I will ever fight and not enjoy the spoils thereof. Hallelujah. So for all the storms, the challenges, the battles that you and I go through, there's honey that you can go back and collect from there. And it's honey that's not just refreshing you, but you are able to even serve other people. Hallelujah. He was able to serve his parents. There are so many people around you that will benefit and be better off because of the struggle that you have been through. It's not in vain that you lost your child. It's not in vain that you lost the job. It's not in vain that you had the struggle that you had. The Father is turning what the enemy meant for evil, he's able to use for good in your life. As you embrace reality and embrace the truth, God is able to use you to actually be a source of refreshing and a blessing to the people around you. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God is alive, it is active, it is sharper than every double-edged sword, rightly dividing between bone and marrow. The word of God is the same way that it operated in the past. In Psalms 107 and verse 20, he says, I sent forth my word, and it healed them. It is the same way that the Father is sending forth a word that is bringing healing in your life. Amen. The word is never out of season. It's never such that it cannot produce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time the word is released, it cannot return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which it was released. And so this morning I prophesy in the name of Jesus that if you are sitting here at the sound of my voice and you are hearing the word of the Lord, that the word will not return void, but it will grow and prevail in your life, and it will produce a harvest. It will produce fruit in your life. There will be a sign that you heard the living word that is potent with life, that is potent with solution and answers. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to be excited, because every time that we hear God's word, every time, not some of the time, every time that we hear his word, there's promotion that takes place in our lives. If we just mix it with faith, we enter into a different season in our lives. The word is always able to usher you into a different season of your life. Why? Because the word is a seed. Come on, say the word is a seed. And if the word is a seed, we know that once seed has gone into the ground, even if there was a famine, because seed is in the ground, a seed will then bring forth a harvest. And the season of famine is judged just because of a seed. Someone is hearing what the Father is saying. We know that women will have a menstrual cycle every month until a seed is introduced. Then all of a sudden, what was a vicious cycle coming back over and over in the life of a woman will cease because of a seed. Today you are conceiving the incorruptible seed of the word of God, and every cycle of barrenness in your life is judged in the name of Jesus. Every state of famine in your life is judged in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word is powerful. So we're not religious in how we receive God's word. We have faith. We mix it with the faith. Faith without actions is dead. So how I know that I've mixed the word of God with faith is when I leave church, I know what to do in order to enjoy what the word has said. So the word is not for hearing, it's for doing. Please turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor that this word is not for hearing, it's for doing. So you're not just here to hear the word. Oh, I was in church, I was so blessed, I heard the word, it was powerful. No, it's not for hearing, it's for doing. Come on, tell your other neighbor, the word is not just for hearing. The word is for doing. I understand by the Spirit of God, and I think this has been the theme for me for most of the year, that the Father does not want his children to keep, you know, vacillating, moving this way and this way. One minute they are overcoming, the next minute they are struggling. One minute they are above because the word was preached in church, so they are feeling like they are above. And the next minute they are operating in utter defeat and discouragement. The Father wants you to gain mastery victory through light, mastery in life. Come on, say, I'm gaining mastery. You are becoming a master in life. Look, the gospel that we're hearing in our days as the body of Christ is in two parts. There are those who preach the word of God to make you aware that they're anointed and graced to help you. So when you go to those people, they deliver you from whatever is wrong with you. They remove demons where you have demons. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a level of truth. But I perceive and understand by the Spirit of God that the Father wants his church, his saints, his body to come to a place of maturity, where you are no longer looking to pastors to lay hands on you, but rather where you become aware that you are anointed to lay hands on other people. Now, a lot of believers are so lazy that they get irritated with the pastor who teaches them how to hear for themselves, how to study the word, how to pray. But the Bible says that who will he teach his instructions to? They that are weaned from the breast. You can't be a baby who is still latching onto the breast of your mother and think you are going to enjoy instruction from the father. You will not enjoy the benefits of sonship and maturity if you're addicted to being fed, if you're addicted to eating what is easy, because milk is easy, you don't need to chew. When you're a baby, all you're doing is drinking milk. All you do is just swallow. You're just swallowing. But when you grow and you start eating meat, there's a bit of work there. There's some chewing to be done. And sometimes you must separate the bone from the meat from the bone. In other words, you are beginning to judge the word of God. You are not just accepting everything. You are not saying the pastor, but the pastor said. You are discerning in your spirit, and then you are going back to the word according to Acts chapter 17. The Bible says the Berean church was better than the Thessalonian church. Why? Because the Bereans would go after church and look to see if those matters are the way that they were taught. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 17 verse 11. So as we are moving on to maturity, your father is saying, do you want to enjoy the benefits of being mature, or do you want to remain a child and enjoy what children enjoy? I honestly feel this morning that the father is saying you have to pick a side. You can't do both. You can't be the one who needs the anointed men of God for deliverance, but you're also a deliverer. Yeah. We've been teaching you Obadiah 1 verse 21 says, saviors shall come out of Mount Zion. Saviors. Who are you saving? Because instead of saving, you're still saying, pastor, I have a challenge. Please pray for me. That is okay when you are still a baby. There's nothing wrong. But babies must grow. Can you imagine if you still had to carry your 15-year-old on your back? What parent would enjoy that? Even your 12-year-old saying, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. I have a child, I don't want to get killed for this, but I have a child who has texted me before and said, hey, mom, how far are you? I'm like, I'm about 7 minutes away. Yeah, I need you to come back. I'm hungry. It's a true story. And I'm confused. I'm like, wait, did I take the pots with me? Did I take the grocery with me? Because if all the supplies are there, why are you calling your mom? She was just enjoying having a mom around. Okay. So those are privileges that you can enjoy. But what if mom doesn't come back? You need to be able to make your own food. It's a problem when you are old, but you don't know how to feed yourself. What am I talking about? I'm saying, as long as we are here, we're here to manifest. We're here to show sonship. So what that looks like is, you are going to have challenges. And challenges are just an opportunity for you to manifest. We spoke about Samson, that every time Samson was frustrated, he manifested his true nature. Every single time, what was meant to bury him always made him show up. So our opportunities to show up come through the difficulties that we face. You never manifest until you are under pressure, until you are between a hard place and a rock. Then you discover your true nature. When Samson was told that, you know, when they deceived his wife, the Bible says she cried for 7 days during her wedding. The celebration in Israel used to be 7 days. And she cried throughout saying, why are you not telling me what the riddle is? Eventually he told her. And she went and told her relatives. And her relatives came and gave him the solution to the riddle that he had given them. And then suddenly he had a challenge. What was the challenge? He now has to pay them with 30 garments. 30, like, basically he now owed a lot of money. The Bible says he went to the camp of the enemy, to the people that he was fighting or who were fighting him. He went straight there, and the Bible says he killed 30 of the exact number that he needed. There's a breed of believer that is going to know how to go straight to the camp of the enemy to take what rightfully belongs to them. They will manifest superiority not by retreating, but by advancing. Advancing and saying, I know who I am. I know who God has made me. Hallelujah. And even when they were seeking for him, the Bible says, Samson was even, he had gone there to sleep with a prostitute. So in my head, as I'm reading that, I'm like, oh, he's in error. But the Bible says, while he was in error, because he knew who he was, he knew that he was a Nazarite, he knew that he was strong. The Bible says he woke up at 12, they were waiting to meet him in the morning, they missed him. Woke up at 12, went to get the gates, carried the gates on either side of it. That's ridiculous. I mean, I cannot begin to imagine this. He made a public spectacle of the people who were coming for him. And that is your portion, child of God. Your father has anointed you, but he's waiting for you to choose a side. Come on, say, I'm choosing a side this morning. You need to gain mastery. And how do you gain mastery? How do we gain mastery? It's through light, or it's through understanding. How do we become masters and commanders, not chancers? Chancers, get it right today. Then tomorrow, it's difficult. Or they don't know, and they're confessing negative. They're not sure if it's God or if it's not God. You know, we've done that. Asking from the arm of flesh and then asking from God. We've done that. The season for that is over. Your father wants you to be like Jesus. Jesus lived a victorious life. He lived an exceptional life. Victorious is even an understatement. He lived an exceptional life. Like, everything he did was just a mystery. How he spoke was ridiculous. How do you look at people and say, I'm from above, you are from here. I'm from above, you are from beneath. That was Jesus. That's how he spoke. Pella, our faith is seen and is evident through our words. We've been reading that scripture, I think it's 2 Corinthians 4:13, that having believed, they spoke. Every time we believe, having the same spirit of faith, believing, we then speak. Every time we believe, it manifests in how we speak. That is why Jesus spoke in a different way. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we do what? We speak. So even your words are a clear indication of what you believe. If your words are are not consistent with what God says about you, you can rest assured you don't believe what God says. It's not a coincidence that you say you are really struggling. It is so bad that believers will say, you know what, Pastor Zandi, I know that we're not supposed to say we're sick, but iqiniso lihle mfundisi. Iqiniso nje lihle. But honestly, I just want to tell you the truth. And then when someone says that, you are able to identify what they believe is the truth. Because he said, those who are in Zion should what? Not say they are sick. He said, by his stripes you were healed. So according to the word of God, there's never a time where you can now excuse it and say, but just to be honest, can I just be honest for a minute? How is that honesty? If you are lying against God, you are lying against the truth. It's not honesty. You are vacillating between two opinions. And your father is saying the reason Jesus lived an exceptional life was because of what he knew. What he was at home with. I'm not talking about knowledge. There are many things that we know, but we're not at home with certain truths. What do I mean you're not at home? You're not comfortable. You're not settled in that truth. Because anyone can come and shake you. You are at home with the truth that you are female. So no matter how much someone can come and tell you that, ma'am princess, you are actually a man, you are not going to be moved. It doesn't communicate anything to you. You just hear the person and you're like, you're ridiculous. I'm a female. You are at home. You even feel like I have proof. I've given birth to children. I am a female. I know this. You are at home with the truth. It is not just knowledge in your head, but it is a truth that you have interacted with. And the Father is calling us to where we are interacting with reality. I've taught here that reality is found in the spirit realm, not in the natural realm. And while you keep arguing, as we share scriptures with you, in your head you're like, but, you will never enjoy what is rightfully yours. You'll remain what? A child, busy drinking milk. And while you're drinking milk, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, a child, an heir, as long as he remains a child, as long as an heir is still a baby, cannot receive their inheritance, cannot enjoy what is theirs. It's no different from a servant. You're exactly like a servant. Ownership comes by maturity. Hallelujah. Let's read from the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13, scriptures that we know. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, sorry, I said Acts. Ephesians, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Can someone say perfecting of the saints? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that Christ gave gifts to men. And what were those gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So when we stand and we teach you the word of God, we are the gift that God has sent to you. Yes. I'm going to digress for a second. How do you treat a gift? Especially a gift that you are aware of. You are actually just aware that this is a gift. This is a treasure. This is something that is precious. There's a way that you treat that gift. But if you don't understand, it's a problem, because then you also treat the gift a certain way. I just thought I should throw that in there. We are gifts, amen. Why are we gifts? The Bible says we're not gifts to lord it over God's people. We are gifts for the what? for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the saints, of the body of Christ, till the body will come to what? The full stature. They come to unity. They come to the full stature of Christ. So when we are fully equipped, we become a perfect church. We look exactly as Christ looked when he walked the earth. We speak exactly as he spoke. We are exactly the full stature of Christ. His ability, what he knew, what he could do, will be seen in the body of Christ as they are being equipped. So the words that I'm speaking to you, according to John chapter 6, 63, where Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that you are hearing, they are spirit and they are life, causing you to rise and grow to the full stature of Christ. Someone say the full stature of Christ. Where you become aware of who you truly are and what you have, and you start walking in it by faith. Because we can't keep saying what we say. I'm above, I'm not beneath, I'm the head and not the tail. But we're saying it and it's not manifesting in our lives. We have not come to a place of being at home with the truth. We have not chosen a side yet. We are still moving from side to side. You need to make a decision that your word takes preeminence in my life. If you have said about me that whatever is born from above is above all, I receive that word. I embrace that word. When you embrace the word, the spirit of the word enters you and elevates you. And then the enemy is not able to menace you. We say, excuse me, we say a lot of things that sound like we're just waiting for God's timing. There's nothing like that. You have a very long wait ahead of you. God's time is now. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is, now. It's the substance of things. It's the evidence now. What is it that you are trusting God for? What is it that you believe in God for? Some of us are challenged in our finances. Some in your body, you know, you are experiencing challenges. The Bible says now faith is. When I come to a place of believing that by his stripes I was healed, that I am one with Christ because I have united myself, according to 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, he who unites himself with the harlot becomes one flesh with her. He who unites himself with the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Once you begin to believe that word, that I'm one spirit with him, I'm one with him, he lives in me, I live in him, sickness cannot bully me, it cannot just live in my body. As I realize that, I will not only just speak it consistently, even when the enemy says, no, but you're sick. You know, there's a testimony I heard of a lady who had a growth, like a very horrible growth on her neck. And then she was prayed for and she received her healing. But the growth didn't move. But all its effects were canceled completely. So every year she would stand up and say, I really want to thank God that I was healed. I used to be bullied by a growth. She literally just ignored that thing. When she would speak, you'd think the growth is not there. Because its effects were not there anymore. And the saints started murmuring because they were limited to the eyes. So as she kept on saying that, I'm healed, they started saying, you know, the pastor needs to deal with her because we can all see that the thing is still there. See, carnal believers, it was the pastor's fault. Also, as a pastor, we don't send people to go and testify, you know. But it was the pastor's fault. No, the pastors need to do something. We can't have people believing that they can just stand up and make claims that are not real. She was saying it because she was fully persuaded. She didn't need the lamp to disappear. She went back to the father to say, okay, Lord, for the sake of these who are carnal. Once she caught wind of the fact that they were complaining, she asked God, please just remove this thing so that they can also know. There is an army of believers that are awakening to reality who will have to pray like Jesus prayed. Jesus said, Father, when I pray, I know that you've already heard me. So he was praying for the benefits of the people who are listening. He says, I know you heard me. But for this that I hear, there's a talk that a child of God who is now walking in revelation, in understanding, there's a way they will talk that other people cannot talk. How we will know where you have arrived, where you have landed, is how you will talk. While everything you say is acceptable to the people around you, they understand and they applaud, you are not there yet. You have not yet arrived. Because you start saying that I am healed and there's a lamp. That's the talk of, you are here on earth, you say I'm from above. You guys are from below. Yeah. You say your father, when you talk to them, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and he died. But as for me, you see, your talk is just arrogance. You just sound like, who does she think she is? There's a knowing that gives you mastery over the natural forces. There's a knowing that changes your language. It changes your state and introduces you into your estate, into your inheritance. There are truths that will change the condition of things in your life and put you where you begin to enjoy an inheritance that other people cannot enjoy. But it comes by knowing. And can I just talk about this? That the Spirit of God is not for speaking in tongues. No, he causes us to speak in tongues, but that's not his primary function. Everywhere we read in Scripture, where Jesus says, it's actually great that I'm living. Because I am living, I will send you another who is just like me. And then he says his function will be to do what? To lead you into all truth. The function of Jesus is to show you. It's for you to access light. Come on, say, I access light by the Spirit of the living God. So there are some of you here, you don't speak in tongues, you are not full of the Holy Spirit, but somehow you think you'll access. It's not possible. Which is why the Father wants you to be filled today. Before we leave this place, you will be full of the Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking in tongues, in a new language. Why? Because the Spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, that he searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. So the primary function of the Holy Spirit is to open your eyes to reality so that you know, while the enemy is saying you are sick, but there's something that you see in reality. You see that I cannot be sick. By his stripes I was healed. You recognize in reality that I lack nothing. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. You recognize that there is nothing that you cannot do. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see in the Spirit that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You recognize that you are not just a living soul, but you are a life-giving spirit. Zoe, the life of God, the life of abundance, has been handed over to you. You are not waiting for abundance. You have been given abundance. So when people look at you, they don't see abundance, but because you have seen it, you are accessing it. We have prayed wrong prayers for too long, asking Jesus to come and do what he already did. And then we say, I'm waiting for my prayer to be answered. Which one? The prayer of error. He answers the prayer of faith. Where you are praying in agreement with him, with what he has said. Father, I thank you that it is the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But you have come that I might have life and have it in abundance. I thank you that I'm a new creature in Christ. I was born to dominate. I was born to live in abundance. There is abundant peace in my life. There is abundant wisdom in my life. I know what to do. I know how to do. Your grace is sufficient for me. I am able to handle all things. There is no temptation that comes that is too much for me, because with every temptation, you have already provided a way of escape. I thank you, Lord, that my eyes can see the way of escape, and I thank you that your spirit quickens even my mortal body. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus causes me to shine brighter and brighter, to do better and better, to grow from grace to grace, faith to faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, so that we come to the full stature of the knowledge of Christ. We know who we are. Come on, say, I know who I am. I know that I'm born from above. So I'm above all. I can't be bullied by the challenges of this life, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So this week, we went somewhere. You know, I'm not going to go into it, but we had to go somewhere. And, you know, you read and even preach that the Bible says, when they slap you on this side, you must give them the other cheek. Easier said than done. But his grace is sufficient. Where we went, we were assaulted verbally. Especially me, like it was really directed at me. But you know how the Bible says the Holy Spirit will tell you of things to come. And then you are speaking, your mind is unfruitful. You will understand today. When we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says our minds are unfruitful. But the Holy Spirit, who searches the deep things of God, takes the deep things of God and reveals them. So when he reveals the things, a lot of times they bypass your mind. So you will prophesy into your future. Because in the realm that we are born into, we are able to walk according to words that are sent before. There are things that you will escape because of the words that you speak by the Spirit of God before you get into the situation. The Spirit, who knows all things, reveals the things to you. It doesn't say he reveals them to your mind, but your spirit knows. And so you begin to speak by the Spirit of God, and you frame your world. You close doors and you open some doors. You make provision, because the Spirit, Rakaparia Debrasa, Runaka Teleketuya Patea, as you speak by the Spirit of God. The Word of God says in Romans 8:26 that we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us in precision and alignment with the will of God. So I started speaking. The children of God in Eswatini had gone to this family and they were chased away. Even with cables, like they were now assaulting physically, you know. And when I was saying, no, this is the type of situation where you have to let them do what they, the believer said, no, thank you. So I said, no, it's fine. I'll come from Witbank. And when I got there, I met with the pastors and we went there. And when they saw us, they said, we're happy because Lo Zandilo. We're happy that she's here. And then they started. But you see, before I went there, as I was talking to the other believers, I was saying, they will even spit on us. But we have to let them spit. Yes, this one is not the one where you arise and fight. Let them spit. They will walk on our backs. We have to lay down and let them walk. My mind didn't know what I was saying, but the Spirit himself. I didn't know what I was saying. When we got to that place, they wanted to walk on the backs, literally. They were not playing. They were spitting for real. You know? But because the word had already gone forth, Jesus kept on saying, even if you destroy this temple, it's going to take me 3 days to rebuild it. He was speaking the end from the beginning. He said, I can only be under the grave for just 3 days. On the fourth day, I will rise. He was speaking the end from the beginning. That's how we operate here. We just speak it, and then there's grace for it. We just utter, and we don't have to know why we are saying what we're saying. Let's just say it. Because he says we should say, just begin to agree with him. It's true, Lord. Your grace is then spit. I have grace. You know, I had to kneel down. That's a lot. You know I'm over 50, right? I did not kneel down for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I was with Mom Nelly. She can tell you I was on my knees there on a cold day on cold tiles, kneeling, begging for forgiveness. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, what did you do? Nothing. Everything they were accusing me of, I didn't do. But they were slapping me on this cheek. And my responsibility was to give them the other cheek. This gospel is not in words. It's not just talk. You're busy here. I'm a child. I am a child of God. We are above and not beneath. If you are very above, there's no servant that's greater than the master. One of the things that they said of me is that you prosperity preachers, you are just prosperity preachers. You just want to milk people. But you never take care of them. You never even know when they're going through problems. You know, they were saying all of that. You know? And then the Holy Spirit says to me, how are you greater than your master? They said he was removing demons through the spirit of Beelzebub. There's no servant that's greater. Why should they see you correctly? It's not their responsibility. This test is not actually about them. It's about you. Are you going to pass? No more you're going to kneel there like a fool and have people record you like this. Because bafuna your poster. Because it's imtshelile. Yes, at in a nyalo. Bega kukala papas. Samuchela. Bangtshelile vele. But in pasile. And because I passed, this is what I want you to hear. Because I passed, number one, I have a right to go and look for honey. You can't fight with the lion and then there's no honey. I have a right to go back for my honey. And then when someone passes grade one, what happens to them? They are promoted to grade two. There is now promotion in my life. The angelicals, the entourage of the angelicals has increased in my life because I passed. But if you fail, what happens? You repeat. Until you pass. There are people who you are wondering, what's happened? Why am I not a superse? Let them say what they want. Kneel down and rub your hands together. You say, please forgive me. That time I was, another accusation was that I preached a message. But and then you went to preach a message to just kill and finish our son. Because the scriptures that you chose to use in that message were clearly against him. You killed him umbulele umfanef, he took his own life. So they told me that I killed him. I killed him because I preached the message. And as they were saying that, I was trying to remember, what message? What did I say? I'm really trying hard to remember. I could say, ooh, ngabe ngiphi? Ngathini? Yeah, but I can't remember. I can't remember, but Dila, please forgive me. Please forgive me. We're so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive us. We could have done better. We didn't do as well as we could have. Because those people are in pain. They were in pain. They just lost their son, young boy, to suicide. So do you want to fight with them carnally? And not recognize that pain is speaking. This is the voice of pain that is speaking. It's not even the real person. There's a lot that's going on that's making this person say that. So we passed. We drove all the way celebrating, praying, enjoying ourselves. The following morning, 4 a.m., I woke up. I thought I was going to die. The level of pain. All the pain I didn't feel at all because God just covered me like that in that moment. The following day, the pain had to have an outlet. Otherwise, it was going to poison me. So the Father now allowed me to experience all of it. It was not funny. How many hours did I cry? Yeah, I don't remember crying like that, like in the recent years. Until you can't breathe from pain. Your heart is just aching. And I didn't even know. I was asking my husband, I'm like, I don't know why I'm in so much pain. I didn't know why I was in pain. He had to tell me that, no, Pella, yesterday you were abused and assaulted. The thing wasn't a joke. It's just only, you're only processing it today. I didn't even know why I was crying, like why I couldn't breathe. There's a place in God, inside, where he hides you so much, and you are just being led by him. That's the enemy, he has no access. So even when you're supposed to now feel and process pain, the Father has to explain in English, because your mind is not ready to grasp anything that is not of God. Your mind is refusing to accept even offense. Your mind is like, I'm not offended. Why is it saying that? It's aligned with truth. Blessed is the one who is not offended in me. So I'm not taking offense. So in order for me to experience pain, God has to say, this is what's happening. Then I'm like, oh, okay. Unfortunately, I cry well. So I cried for a very long time. Let's go to John chapter 1. We're about to close. John chapter 1 verse 6. Thank you, Father. Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm going to pass my test. I'm going to live by the Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit leads us into all truth. He spoke about the event, everything that was going to happen. It's just that I didn't know here. But in here, when I started checking the words I was saying, I was like, oh, everything that I said is happening now. John 1, 16, not 6, 16. 1, 2, 3, let's read. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. What have we received? Of his fullness, not a measure, not a part. He's given you his fullness. This is speaking of Christ, because we know that it starts with, in the beginning was the Word. And it goes on to explain in verse 14, that's where it really reveals that it's talking of Christ, the Word that became flesh. So he's speaking about Christ. He's saying, and of his fullness, of everything that he's full of, have we what? Received. Say, I have received everything that Christ is full of. When you receive Jesus, you receive everything. It's not a measure. Yes, it's not a measure. You receive everything. So you want to start asking yourself, so what is this frustration in my life? what is the struggle in my life? If I have received of the fullness, everything that he is and has, I'm full of it as well. The problem is that you are not aware of what you are full of. You are not aware of it. But the Spirit, once he is in you, begins to lead you into all truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you are truly above. The truth is that you have truly won. The truth is that you are able to do much more. You have more capacity than you realize. You have more ability than you think. The truth is that he has beautified you. The truth is that he has made you a solution giver to the nations of the earth. He has made you. That's the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all the truth. And he will cause you to be at home with the truth. And then like Jesus, you will start saying things like, I'm the light of the world. You are not even saying I'm the light of my family. He said we are the light of the world. How many of you have said that with your mouths? Because the Bible says, having the same spirit of faith, we have believed, therefore we have spoken. If you believe it, have you said in your family, when they say there's a crisis, and as they're speaking, you're saying, no, please don't worry. I'm the light of this family. You don't need to walk in darkness. I'm the light. The light has come. And you're speaking about yourself. No, the light has come. The light is here with you. So it is well with this family because the light has come. Having the same spirit of faith, we speak. You don't say it because you have not come to a knowledge, a full understanding of what he has said about you. So it's not the full, so the equipping, the perfecting of the saints is for you to actually know who you are. This teaching, the words that I speak, they are spirit. As they enter you, they take you deeper. There are things you are hearing that I have not said. Because the Spirit is unfolding it to you. As I speak, it's not words that I speak. There's a Spirit that is entering you and causing you to come alive. You are realizing that I can't be disadvantaged. I can't be trapped by the enemy. You are realizing that I am the righteousness of God. It's not in what I do. So, you see, the things that would bully you before, like the dreams. You had a dream, and in the dream, your in-laws, they gave you something to eat, and you swallowed it. And when you woke up, there was something here, moving up and down. No, you're feeling it. You're like, at night, my sister-in-law, the one who hates me, in the dream, she came and she fed me something, and I swallowed it. When I woke up, there was a lump. It was just moving up and down here. So then what are you doing? You're running to the apostle for deliverance. Apostle, deliver me. I'm not stopping you. Okay, you must come. Come and be delivered. But you can't come every year. You can't be a child forever. My argument that the Holy Spirit has instructed me to present to God's people today is that you can't be a child forever. You need to decide. Do you believe the word? Because when you feel the thing, you need to just tell it. You can't be resident here. Out in the name of Jesus. And you go on with your life. But if the dream itself is causing you to shiver, Apostle, they're at it again. The other time, Apostle, the first time when I was pregnant with the first child, I had a dream. It was the same dream. It was the same woman. And then 2 days later, I miscarried. So now you're anticipating. Guti, yabonage, I'm going to lose my baby again. You are even using your mouth to establish the will of the enemy. Because having the same spirit of faith, we speak. Whatever you believe, you will speak. If you believe that, you can be bewitched. You are going to keep speaking it. And when you speak it, the Bible says, according to your words. according to your words. Do you know what? You're going to have a second miscarriage. Having believed, you spoke and you established it. You gave it free rein into your life. So now, Vele, the enemy has a license to kill that baby. But he got the license from you when you opened your mouth. There are things you should know that you can't get. It can't tolagala. Ninikiwe amandla, amandla ezulu. Noma Satane engahlasela. Ngeke uba wavume. I'm not available and I'm not accessible. I'm not available and I'm not accessible. So the enemy can do whatever he wants. I am at home with reality that his grace is sufficient for me. That I am in him and he is in me. And when you want to touch me, you must touch him first. I'm at home with the truth. So I have no occasion to panic and speak nonsense. And the things that bully other people cannot bully me. So the other one was tormented because they had a dream. When I had a dream, I remembered it in the morning. Goes, oh, they, I was eating. I was like, I'm like, there's too much Zoe in me. Whatever it is, the thing, it just melted. It was swallowed up by life. Death is swallowed up in life. And I go about my day. It's not that I don't have the attacks that you have. It's that the knowledge has given me mastery. I'm now a master. I'm a master. I'm having the same attacks that you have, but I don't respond to them the way that you respond. Why? Because there's something I know. Jesus, but Elijah are there. They see, Moses first sees a sea. And, you know, the Bible says, what did Moses do? He stretched out his scepter or his rod, and the waters had to part. Elijah used his mantle. And so did Elisha. Jesus comes, and Jesus is like, oh, land, water, no difference. He just walks on the thing. He doesn't sweat it. He doesn't say, what did Moses do? Why? Why was Jesus so superior all the time, every day? There's something he knew. We know that he knew it because of the words he always spoke. Always spoke. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Gufiwe. Gufiwe. In fact, the person has died. It's been 4 days. And Jesus comes and says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Guys, can we just one more scripture before we pray? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Can we put up 1 John chapter 4, verse 17? Say there's a knowledge. Come on, say there is a knowledge that is setting me free. There's knowledge that is delivering me and promoting me. Yes. My promotion in my life did not come by any incident outside of the Holy Spirit leading me into all truth. All of it, I saw it. And when I saw it and believed it, mixed it with faith, I stopped talking the way I used to talk. Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. When you're a child, you know what you say. You say, I feel, I feel, I feel. Because you're a child. Children will say they don't want to do things because they don't feel like it. I just don't feel like. The past few days I've been saying, but there's no ceiling. Something that Pastor Manga's child said when she was really young. When we went to the church in Klipfontein. Where's the ceiling? I don't know why. I just kept remembering that. I think this whole week, shame, people were in trouble. I just kept saying, where's the ceiling? Because when you're a child, you just speak what you see. There's no ceiling. Pella, we were happy. We're victorious. We're now in the new. She's like, yeah, but where's the ceiling? She couldn't see the end from the beginning. She could just see that this church has no ceiling. Where is the ceiling? But you can't continue speaking like a child, because I was a child. But when I grew up, I left foolish ways and started agreeing with God. when I speak. I don't lend my voice to my emotions and to my mind, because that's too low. I don't live there anymore. Okay, so what does the word of God say? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, read. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Come on, say, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Say, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. We possess by light. We dominate. We gain mastery by light. Once you see that as he is, so am I. There are things that you'll start looking at in your life and saying, no, 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 no. This can't be me, because me, I'm like him. And this doesn't look like him. If he has overcome, I've overcome. If he's able to handle it, I can handle it. As he is, so am I. Once you're at home with this truth, it changes everything. As he is, so am I. In this world, he makes sure that we understand that in this lifetime, we're born to dominate. Let's stop being afraid and trapped by things that shouldn't trap us. The devil bullies you by telling you what a sinner you are. He just keeps reminding you what you did yesterday and the other day. That thing is neither here nor there. I'm not encouraging you to sin, but I'm telling you it's not a factor. It's not a factor. It's not a factor. Jesus would not have needed to die if we could live pure and great lives. What matters is what you believe and what you say. I never used to know that scripture in Romans chapter 10. You know, we speak from verse 9 and 10. We say that we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths unto salvation. I used to think it's you believe that Jesus is Lord, so you confess that Jesus is Lord, and then you are born again. I used to think that's what it means. But it means everything. It encapsulates the life of a believer. A believer, okay, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay. You believe, okay, let's read 10. For with the heart, man does what? Believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we believe his word, and it's accounted to us as what? Righteousness. And then we speak and declare his word, and the Bible says we escape. That's what salvation is. So you escape poverty, you escape lack, you escape frustration, you escape strife, unhealthy. You escape through the words that you say. It's not just escaping hell. It's not for you to just be crossing over from death to life. Even in your life every day, you believe what God has said. So the situation comes and it jolts you. And then you're like, but what has my father said concerning this? No, this is not my portion. My child cannot die. My child will not die. As for me and my house, we are for signs and wonders. And you start prophesying and declaring that concerning your children, concerning your posterity. You start declaring what the Father has said. When the enemy is busy telling you and showing you that it's over with this child, you don't then stand there and also say, "Yo, please pray with me. That child is showing me flames. He's a monster." Why would you establish what the enemy is saying? Check, peer into the spirit realm, hear and see what the Father has said, and you begin to confess unto salvation. That's how your house will be seen as a house of prayer. They will say you are truly blessed. Your children are the children of the Most High. It's by faith. While our children are doing whatever it is they are doing, we are establishing. We believe with our hearts that ours are for signs and wonders. They belong to God. They are set apart for the display of God's splendor. So that is what we're speaking concerning our children. Let's stand to our feet.
so we can pray. This is what the Father was saying today. He wants you to be a master over your circumstances. Your Father is saying, I'm inviting you to be the boss in your life. But you gain that lordship through light, through knowledge. And I said at the beginning of our session here that you can't access knowledge without the spirit of the knowledge. We can't access truth without the spirit of truth. So if your approach, you are hearing just, like even what I'm speaking now, you're only hearing it with your mind. You're not milking it for what it could have given you. Let the Holy Spirit expound the word. The Holy Spirit takes us to where, when we read the Bible, we see things that other people don't see. When we hear the preacher preaching, we hear things that it's the Spirit of God. He begins to talk to you about your situation. He begins to tell you, he tells you things that you never would have thought. It's the Holy Spirit. There are some people here who are not even filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to pray for you. Because you are never going to be a master until you are full of the Holy Spirit. Until the mind is unfruitful. You don't just walk by sight and understanding. You walk by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. You are framing your world through your words. Which words? The ones that the Holy Spirit utters through you. While our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, you are in this place, you are a child of God, and you are saying, Lord, I want that mastery. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please just come. We want to pray for you. Please just come. I'm inviting you. Some of you, you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you want an activation. An activation. It's like the Spirit of God is laying dormant on the inside of you. And today you are saying, I'm too hungry for that. Please just stand here and lift your hands as a sign of surrender to the Father. And we're going to pray for you and you're going to be filled. Thank you, Jesus.